We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confessing our sins to Him. And so we confess to Him first in the silence of our hearts. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our opening song.
With you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Redeemer, in our weakness we have failed to be your messengers of forgiveness and hope in the world. Renew us by your Holy Spirit, that we may follow your commands and proclaim your reign of love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us sing our gospel song now.
Jesus spoke in parables, not to entertain us, but to help us understand deeper truths about the nature of his kingdom and the spiritual battles that rage around us. Jesus is our Savior and King, and the Holy Spirit has come to defend us and draw us closer to our Lord. Hear now the parable of the sower and the seeds in Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Will you please join me in prayer? Gracious Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for this time. And we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit into each one of our hearts, that we may not only understand your word, but come to hold it close and live into your grace, into your power, and into your love. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Earlier this week, I had somebody come up to me and say, "Pastor Steve, are you going to do show and tell again this week?" And for those of you that weren't here, I had props that I was using the last few times I've preached. And just to take away the anticipation or perhaps nervousness about that, no, I do not. All right? What I have is the Word of God. Word of God to bring to you today. And I want to start out with, within this parable, I've shared this before, that the names of the parables are not names that Jesus gave these parables. And so the parable of the sower, we use that because it's helpful to find it, but it could be the parable of the soils. You know, what's going on with the soils? It could be the parable about the seeds. But the point is that this is a rather remarkable and very, very important parable that Jesus shares with us. And he's teaching a large group of people, very large. In fact, so large that he can't just stand there and talk. He actually gets in a boat, goes offshore a little ways so that he can see everybody and so that apparently they could hear him as well. So he is out there. He is talking to them. And one of the things, he spoke to them about a lot of different parables up to this point and a lot of different teachings. But then he says something. And here it's just one word. In the Greek, it's two. And the word is listen. And here's the thing. This is not just like, okay, y'all listen up. No, this is, let's see here, where's, I gotta find my microphone. This is, Listen. It's loud. It is get your attention. In fact, in the Greek with the two words, it literally means, it means to hear, but it means to mega hear. And it's very similar to what the prophets would do in the Old Testament. And they would say things like, thus says the Lord. And they would point their finger. You know, they have the beards and you can just see the wind blowing through their beards. And they've got their finger. Thus says the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Listen to what he has to say. It's not just, okay, y'all perk up. We got something going on in class here. It's listen to this word that I'm about to share with you. Because it is of utmost importance. And with that, you know, something to understand about the prophets. And those of you that have studied the Old Testament a little bit, when the prophets said, listen and hear the word of the Lord and do what the Lord says, did they always do what the Lord said? You can just say no, okay? Absolutely not. They did not. In fact, and the prophets would say, listen, if you don't, if you keep cheating the poor, if you keep neglecting the widows, if you keep doing this as a nation, these things will happen to you. And let me ask you, when the Lord said these things will happen to you, did they happen if they didn't listen? Absolutely. In fact, in the prophet Isaiah and in the prophet Jeremiah, we hear that word listen over 90 times. And quite often it's an imperative like, listen, thus says the Lord. And the other part of that is usually the prophet saying, and they didn't listen. Now, who was this message to primarily? The people of Israel. It was to the people of Israel. The Lord said, pay attention to what I am saying. But they didn't listen. And so when we look at this parable, we got to ask the question, what? There's something more going on here about good soil, good seed, sower. There's something else going on here. And I believe that what the Lord is saying here is, I want you to listen to this, and I want you to understand, and I want you to take to heart what I'm saying here. And he says to us, he says to his disciples, after he walks through this entire parable, he talks about all the different, the seed being sown, and he talks about how it's some sown along the path, some sown among the rocks and the thorns and all these things, and how so much of it's taken away. I mean, he walks through all of that, but he leaves it there, and he walks away, and he's just with his disciples when he explains it. And he says this, the secret or the mystery of the kingdom of God has been what? Let's do that next verse, please. Next slide. Yep, there it is. The secret or the mystery of the kingdom of God has been what? Given to you. It's been given to you. And again, if this is only about, okay, prepare your hearts because you want to be good soil and receive the word and receive it gladly and bear much fruit. Let me ask you that. Does that sound like much of a secret or just a suggestion on how to grow closer to God? I'll tell you, when I read it, it sounds like a suggestion on how to, if it's just a suggestion about how to grow closer to God, that's not a secret. It's not a mystery. So what's he saying? Where is he going with this? Now, can we agree that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? And let me ask you, when it says, for God so loved the world, we know that Israel was his chosen people, but did God love people beyond Israel? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe part of what's going on here, and this is our last slide here, is that one of the things God is saying here is that God is in charge. God is in charge. And so this is not about us preparing our hearts to receive God's word, but it is about the nature of his kingdom. It is about the nature of how he works. It is about the good news. And it's about how God, when he's sowing the seed of the gospel, that he is in charge. The word that we often use is sovereign. Like a sovereign king. And as we look at this, we can also understand that this is very much the nature of God's evangelism plan. But before we go any further, we need to talk about who's who in this parable. Jesus, when he talks about the sower sowing the seed, that's God. That's God. All right, we have been entrusted with the gospel, but who holds the power of the gospel in his hands? God does. All right, and the gospel is the seed. And so we're not the sower, and we're not the seed. But let me ask you something. If God is the sower, and you start looking at the descriptions of this, and you say, the sower was scattering seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Right. If God were a really good farmer, would he have scattered seed on the path? Maybe one or two. Well, no. I mean, he would do it perfectly. And then some fell on rocky places. Would God... If he was a really good farmer, would he sow seed into those rocky places? Where the sun would come up and the plants, you know, the soil is shallow, and you think, what's he doing? When I was up in Iowa, I had a friend named Randy who was farming. He farmed about 5,000 acres of soybeans and corn, and I went out for harvest with him one time, and we got in his tractor, and he had about, I don't know, three different... computer screens in his thing there, and it was all run by GPS. And I sat in there. He never touched the steering wheel, except at the end of the row. And I said, "Well, oh, you got to do that." And he said, "No, I just get tired. I want to at least do something." But here's the thing: when that thing harvested all those beans, the computer figured out the exact moisture content in the beans of that particular area, could tell, you know, the exact harvest. So was this 200 bushels an acre, or was this 250, or was it 300 bushels of an acre? Believe it or not, they got that kind of produce. Of every little, by the foot, they measured that. And so they knew the next time when they went through exactly how much fertilizer to put on those areas that weren't producing as much. And then he said, in the spring, we take the seed drill, and the seed drill puts the seed within a half inch of where it's supposed to be on 5,000 acres. Can I tell you, I was just a bit impressed. I was overwhelmed. Let me ask you something. Is God a better farmer than this guy, than Randy? Yes. So what is God doing sowing the seeds on rocky ground and path and all this kind of stuff? I mean, talk about the ultimate seed drill, getting it exactly in the right place at the right time. But here's I believe, what's happening with us and with God. Is that when God, you know, God knows us so well. He knows us. and he knows how efficient we like to be. We like to be efficient. We don't like to waste our time. And there was somebody named Evie Johnson, who was a pastor's wife in Kerrville years ago. And she's just a dear. But I remember she would come out early in my ministry, and she'd look at you and just the sweetest, she'd take me by the hands, and she'd say, "Pastor, thank you for your message, but where's the grace?" All right? Do you think I received that as grace in that moment? No. But you know what? I always remembered that, because there's always grace. Even when there's law, there's always grace. And the question comes up here with this: where's the grace in this? What, you know, seed being sown and thorns and birds and everything. Where is the grace? I believe that what Jesus is telling us here is that the grace is 100% God here, 100% the sower. And what he was telling his disciples, remember, he's only explaining this to the disciples, so he's only explaining it to us. He's saying, you know what? It's not your job to determine what's rocky ground. It's not your job to withhold the word of God from people you don't think are worth it or are worth your time or so far gone that you think that could never happen. Who's the sower? It's God. And yes, there's explanation. And he says, you know what? Why does he throw it all these different directions? Because he's saying, I want you to do that too. And you know what? I am the only one who knows. Luther picks up on this so beautifully. He picks up on the writings of Paul, Martin Luther does. And he says this. He says, I believe that I cannot by my own effort or strength or understanding and effort believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, and sanctified, made me holy, and kept me in true faith. So no matter, you know, if we had some testimonies here, some of you might say, you know what, Pastor, you're talking about me. I was so far gone. But the seed came out, the seed of the gospel came out, took root in my heart. And I came to faith in Jesus. Nobody would have imagined I would have come to faith. Nobody would have imagined it. Or I had been, you know, maybe some of you had been away from the church for years and years and years. And yet God saw fit to throw seed in a place that everybody else would have said, well, that's just rocky ground. Or there's thorns and thistles over there. And yet God, it took. So the point, big part of the point here is it's not for us to determine. We trust that God's going to throw it out there and do that. It's not for us to determine what's rocky, what's hardened ground, where the thorns and thistles are. Not for us. But God does do some explaining. And he tells the disciples, now look, the reality is that even though you're not supposed to identify that ground, the ground exists. And when you go out and preach the gospel, as you're bringing the word, you need to know that there's some people that are just not going to hear it, or they'll hear it, grab it for a minute, and then the birds come pick it up, right? Or the thorns come up. And St. Paul will write about this when he talks about Satan being at work. Because it says, you know, the birds came and ate it up. The word is devoured it. Okay? Sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they were withered. They were devoured. They came up and choked, and the weeds came up and choked the plants. They devoured them. And you know what Peter says? He writes this in 1 Peter 5. He says, "Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to what? Devour." That's the reality. And then we see in Ephesians 6 where Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's what? Schemes." He's scheming. He is out there doing that. But our job, again, is to be God's vessel, to make Christ known. And you know what? And I'm going to close with this. Think of the prophets. The prophets came, they said, "Listen, thus says the Lord." And what did the people do? They didn't. Who were the groups that most opposed Jesus as he was bringing the absolute grace-filled word of God? It was the religious leaders. It was the Pharisees. It was the Sadducees. It was the priests. What everybody else would have thought was the good soil. And who are the ones that received it most gladly, the word? Those sinners, like Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and Matthew, the tax collector. You go down the list. And the people like the Samaritan woman at the well. She received it. The Samaritans themselves received it. What the world would have said, they would have just dismissed them. Jesus is saying, don't dismiss them. Don't dismiss them. Because my sowing, in your eyes, maybe that's all rocky soil. Do it. I'll determine. Maybe the Pharisees were the rocky soil. Maybe the birds came and ate it up. They couldn't do it. But my Holy Spirit, I'm sovereign. My Holy Spirit will do what it does. And so if you have a family member, if you have a friend who has turned away from the gospel or has never come to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't have to say, "Well, it's not worth my time." You can go with confidence and say, "Lord Jesus, sow that seed. It may be rocky, it may not, only you know. But Lord, sow it. And if you want me to be a vessel in that, do it, but never give up." Because, as he said, this is the mystery of the kingdom of God, that you don't know, but who does? He does. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you know us so well. And we ask that you would open our hearts and help us to live into the grace and truth of the gospel, and help us to love and to serve. And Lord, for those in our life who have wandered away or have never come close, Lord, help them to listen to your word and come home to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we're going to sing our song, next song, and also receive the offering and those communication cards.